Now, there are two approaches to the study of Jonah, and the one that is the most popular, and the one that I have found followed by most commentators, is to note the striking resemblance between Jonah and Paul. Both Paul and Jonah were missionaries to the Gentiles. Both were shipwrecked. Both were witnesses to the sailors on board the boat. And both were used to deliver these sailors from death. Now, there are other striking comparisons, I think, which a careful study will reveal, and we're not going into that. But Paul made three missionary journeys. And with his trip to Rome, and I consider it a missionary journey, there were actually four missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. And the four chapters of the book of Jonah may be divided into four missionary journeys of Jonah. The first journey, of course, was into the fish. The second was to the dry land. The third was to Nineveh. And the fourth brought him to the heart of God. And that, may I say, is a very good and reliable division of the little book. Actually, that never satisfied me. I felt that there's more to it than that. And I tried to get an outline of this book away from making a comparison with Paul. And very frankly, I had difficulty. I had more difficulty outlining the little book of Jonah than I did the book of Revelation. It may seem strange to you. The book of Revelation is a very mathematical and mechanical book, actually. It divides itself. The liberal has said too long that it's a difficult book. Nobody can understand it. Well, maybe he doesn't. But actually, it's one of the simplest books that we have in the Bible. We just let it say what it wants to say. Now, I have another approach to Jonah, and it came about this way. I was waiting for the train one night in Nashville, Tennessee. I was returning to seminary, and at that time, I was working on outlines of the books of the Bible, where I started early in that type of a ministry. And I couldn't figure out an outline for Jonah, and I was having a problem there. And when I got to the Union Station in Nashville, I discovered that the train was late, and I would have to wait 30 minutes to an hour. Well, I did, I'm sure, what you do when you wait either in an airport or in a railroad station. I walked around for quite a while before I sat down. I walked by the popcorn machine. I walked by the cigar stand, and that's what they call it in that day. Today they call them gift shops. And I walked by it, and I walked by the soda pop vendor. I walked by the restaurant in the station. I looked in there, and I just kept walking around. I came to the timetable. As I was looking at the timetable, it occurred to me that the book of Jonah could be outlined according to a timetable, either in an airport or in a railroad station. And there are three things I discovered that are on a timetable, and that is regardless of where you are, whether it's in a railroad station or in an airport. Three things that are important. The first thing that's important is the leaving of the train or plane. What time does it leave? And, of course, where does it leave from is important, too, because you've got to check whether you're at that place or not, and you locate whether you are leaving from a certain place, and then you find out what time it leaves. Then you have to find out the destination of the train or plane. They generally come by numbers or by names, so that you want to get on the right plane. It's important to do that. In the early days, there was quite a bit of difficulty and problem with getting on the right plane. A friend of mine was telling me about a trip that he made out of Chicago. I think that he was on the way to New York City or someplace in the east. He'd come from California, And he got on the plane that he thought was for New York and found out he's returning to California. Well, I don't think that could happen today because they're very careful about that. But it is important that you get the time it leaves and its destination and the time it arrives. Well, that's important because there may be somebody there to meet you. And I go to many places today where I'm speaking, and if I fly, I always let them know the flight number I'm coming in on and the time it arrives, because those are the three things that are important: the time you leave, your destination, and the time you arrive. Now, will you look at the book of Jonah like that? And if any of you have my book, you'll find out that we have this timetable in there. In chapter 1, Jonah leaves Israel. Evidently, Samaria, or Gath-Hepher, his hometown. He left there. His destination is Nineveh. But he arrives in the fish. Chapter 2, he leaves the fish. His destination is still Nineveh, and he arrives on the dry land. Now, chapter 3, he leaves the dry land. His destination is still Nineveh, and he arrives in Nineveh. Took him 3 chapters to do it, and he had to go via a fish, but he made it. Now, chapter 4 is another remarkable chapter. He leaves Nineveh. His destination is a gourd vine, or a trailer court outside the city of Nineveh. And he arrives in the heart of God. And that's a marvelous place for anyone to arrive. Now, I want us to note the book of Jonah from this viewpoint, so that when we get into chapter 1 here, we'll be leaving Israel. Our destination will be Nineveh. And Jonah will arrive in the fish. Now, before we get into the contents of the book, there's another item of introduction which I wish to mention. Now, the brevity of the book of Jonah is apt to lead the casual reader to the conclusion that there's nothing of particular significance here except the diatribe about the whale that swallowed Jonah. And, of course, it was no whale. Could have been, but don't think that it was that at all. A special fish was prepared. But be that as it may, the little book of Jonah has 4 chapters, but they're very brief chapters, and it's only about twice as long as the little book of Obadiah, which is the shortest book in the Old Testament. So actually, the book of Jonah is very brief, and for that reason, we're apt to pass over it. Each one of these little books, you can't call them minor prophets. Each one of them is a little atom bomb, just loaded with power and with a program of God, by the way. Now, there are 6 significant subjects which are suggested and developed in the book of Jonah, which make it very relevant for us today. Now, we are going to discuss each one of them as we come to it in the book of Jonah, but I'm going to mention them now. Number 1, this is the one book of the Old Testament which sets forth the resurrection. Now, this is what I mean. All of the great doctrines of the Christian faith are set forth in certain books of the Old Testament, and they give us illustrations. For instance, the book of Exodus sets forth redemption, the deliverance from sin for the sinner who comes to Christ. And it illustrates that. Now, in the little book of Ruth, you have the romance of redemption. You have the love side of redemption. Now, in the book of Esther, you have the romance of providence. And the book of Job, as we've seen before, we believe teaches repentance. Well, now, you can go through the Scripture and find out that the great doctrines of our faith are illustrated by a book in the Old Testament. Now, the little book of Jonah illustrates the resurrection, and it teaches the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, if you please. And if this does not teach the great doctrine of resurrection, then this most important doctrine of the Christian faith is not illustrated by a book in the Old Testament. And for that reason alone, I would say it is a rather significant book. This little book also teaches that salvation is not by works. It's by faith which leads to repentance. This little book is read by the Orthodox Jews on the great day of atonement, on Yom Kippur. You see, the way to God was not by works of righteousness which we've done, but by the blood of a substitutionary sacrifice provided by the Lord. And I think the most significant statement in the book of Jonah is in the second chapter. Salvation is of the Lord. He is the author of it. He is the one who erected the great building of our salvation. And he's the architect. Now, we find a third great purpose of this book, that God's purpose of grace cannot be frustrated. Jonah refused to go to Nineveh, but God's going to get the message to Nineveh. And the interesting thing in this particular case, Jonah's going to be the witness for God in Nineveh. And he didn't know he's going there, but he did. Now, the fourth great truth here is, God will not cast us aside for faithlessness. Now, he may not use you. You see, there are a lot of football players sitting on the bench. In fact, more sit on the bench than play in the football game. And they are only called out to play when they believe they can make a contribution to the game. If you and I are faithless, God may bench us, but we still got on our uniform. And he'll not cast us aside anytime we want to go back in the game of life and do our thing. Why, he'll permit us to do it. This little book teaches that. And then the fifth great truth is, God is good and gracious. And we're going to see that in this book, how wonderful our God is. Now, sixth and last great teaching here, and this is the verse I've written over the book of Jonah in my Bible, Romans 3:29. God is the God of the Gentiles. You see, when God chose Abraham, he said to the Gentiles, I'm going to have to leave you for a while because of the sin that's come into the human family, and I'm going to prepare salvation for you through a man and a nation, and I'll bring the Redeemer, the Savior, into the world. Now God has a salvation for mankind. And Paul says in Romans 3:29, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Well, the book of Jonah reveals that even in the Old Testament, God did not forget the Gentiles. Because if he was willing to save a woman like Rahab the harlot, and a brutal, cruel nation like the Assyrians and the inhabitants of Nineveh, the capital, I want to say to you that God's in the saving business, and he sure wants to save sinners. Now, these are the six great subjects that are dealt with in this little book, and I'm going to deal with each one of them when we come to it in the book of Jonah. Now we are going to look at our timetable because we want to see what time the trainer plane leaves. And we'll leave Israel next time. Samaria or Gath-Hepher, we're going to head for Nineveh, but we'll arrive in a fish.